What's the title of this thing? Don't title again.
Anda de lo le di le du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick, chick. I don't know any other way to start other than a chick, chick, chick. Oh, it used to be chicken in the oven, chicken in the oven. Well, no, it was never quite like that. But anyway, we've started. It's a new podcast, another summer shorty. And this one is starting in, where am I? Wisconsin, still. Superior, Wisconsin, right on the border of Duluth, Minnesota. So that's kind of exciting in itself, isn't it? I just pulled over. My coffee is finished. I'll backtrack a little if you don't mind. I spent the night at a Walmart my first time. Well, no, it's not the first time I've done that, but first on this trip. I just had enough. I had a late start leaving Copper Harbor and had just an absolutely lovely drive. Got to, on to Route 2, which is my goal, and got to Ashland, saw Walmart, saw a great big Winnebago park there, and thought, yeah, this looks like a good spot, and it was perfect. And in fact, it turned into a wonderful stop, because I went in, and they had Wi-Fi, and, my mind boggles at the size of these places and the number of products they have. And then you see some of the people, and part of you think this is amazing, the wealth. But the other part is, my God, this is the downfall of Western civilization. I won't get into that, but it's just, you see so many strange-looking people in Walmarts. I mean, we all know that, but it's a reality check every time you walk in. But anyway, I went in with nothing other than the fact, hey, I'm staying in your parking lot. Maybe I should at least step in the door. Actually, I needed to have a leak to use the plumbing. Then found I got free Wi-Fi. And then thought I needed Febreze. I'll let you in on a little secret. No, I'm not going to tell you that secret. No, I'm going to keep that to myself. And anyway, I felt I needed a little Febreze to freshen up the air in the road trek. That's all I'll say on that. Anyway, I got in there, and then next thing, Nelko's on my iPhone, and she's talking out loud because I didn't have earbuds in or anything. And we're doing FaceTime for about half an hour, which is a rare event, believe me. For some of you, this would be like a nightly call to your wife or partner. This was a first, and it totally surprised me. She was lying in bed in her pajamas with a face mask on. By face mask, I mean these white things, like a surgical covering Japanese people use a lot when they're trying to stay healthy or not spread germs or whatever. It was cute. And we just chatted and laughed, and I, showed her, using the phone where I was and the size of this monstrous building. It was delightful. She even took the phone around or her iPad and showed me the cat eating. Cat didn't pay any attention to me, but anyway, it was something special. It was just an added bonus, and I had a very pleasant, very quiet evening, and got up early and left. So now I've just stopped. Oh, one more thing. I noticed the propane was getting low because the fridge, I was afraid the fridge wasn't working, but always it takes about 2 days of running on propane to get it up to really cold. The freezer is freezing and everything inside is cold, and that's just great. But the propane was down to, one red light left. It had been at 3 for the longest time. So I drove by and I saw this propane tank in a town called Brule, Brule, which of course I know would have been named after Brule, the French explorer. He didn't seem to know that, but he was a very nice man. And I saw this big propane tank outside a little garage, and it was open early in the morning. And it was the perfect stop, because this guy knew. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know how to service, and he said, "Is that spitter valve is kind of tight." And I didn't even know I had a spitter valve. And so he went back into the shop and got a pair of pliers and loosened it, and you hear something spitting out, you know, excess, whatever. And then he was able to readjust it. Yep, she's working. And filled up my tank for propane for like less than $18 American, which is quite wonderful. So that was just a bonus up, something that was needed today. It was the one thing. What's on the list? Well, I better get some propane if I want to have cold drinks and keep the freezer working. And now I've got propane, so I'm happy. Simple. Battery change. Anyway, I'm now stopped at a historic marker in Superior, and this is right on the border with Minnesota. I'll be crossing in shortly. Wonderful big harbor here, historic. It was U.S. Army engineers, I guess, dug this out during the Civil War. Anyway, the historical marker, I want to read it to you. Old Stockade Site. The Sioux Uprising in Minnesota during the summer of 1862, culminating in the New Ulm Massacre, caused great alarm in Superior. A committee of safety was chosen, a home guard organized, and a stockade built on the bay shore here. An inventory of all firearms in Superior revealed a total of 60 shotguns, rifles, and pistols. The state sent 192 muskets and two cannon. To assist the home guard, the governor sent a company of Wisconsin soldiers that had been captured by the Confederates at Shiloh and paroled. This company was called back for Civil War duty in the summer of 1863 and was replaced by other Wisconsin paroled soldiers. The Chippewas residing in this vicinity remained friendly to the whites. By August 1863, the Sioux in Minnesota had been overcome, and most of the soldiers left Superior. Eventually, the stockade was abandoned. Okay, well, maybe that wasn't so interesting, but just, you know, this is not that long ago. And kind of interesting, because the other marker talks about the difference between the Sioux and the Chippewa. The Chippewa were fighting, and of course, you hear the those names come up all the time here, still connected with the Lake Superior and its impact or its importance to every community. I mean, these communities wouldn't exist without the Great Lakes, such as we have it. All right. It just started absolutely pissing rain. You could see it coming in the clouds. That's going to slow down my drive a little. The traffic is picking up. There is a McDonald's that I may backtrack to get something to eat. It's just simpler than cooking at this point. I know, some of you won't approve. Oh, my God, a line of transport trucks. And this is one way, so no, I will not be backtracking. Although, we'll see. Anyway, that doesn't matter. I'm very sorry. I just wanted to say, this is probably going to be a journey, a log of this journey, because you know and I know some of us have no memories left. If I don't record some of the things, it'll get lost. But mostly I just wanted to share my night at Walmart with you. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now. Good morning. It's about 9 a.m. and I'm sitting at my picnic table here in the city park in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I didn't know I'd be staying here for the night, but I knew I needed a shower. I hadn't had one since leaving home Saturday morning, and it was last night, Tuesday evening, before I got one. But yeah, I'm fine. That's why I bought the Febreze. That and other things. Anyway, it's good to alternate. A Walmart night that costs you nothing, except for the stuff you go in and buy. And a park like this that very kindly gave me the discount that goes with being handicapped. But basically, I mean, I think the rationale is you're not going to be able to use all facilities, especially the hiking trails. Anyway, that's how I justify it. But it helped. Otherwise, it was going to be very expensive. I came in, I looked at the prices for electric hookups and saw, and I was just going to leave. I thought, no, I can't pay that. You know, I do have to budget. You know, this is, each day adds up. But anyway, I went into the office and talked to them, and she was very decent. And then I got a non-electric site, which was cheaper to start with. Because the way it is, I mean, when I wanted to heat up my Thai curry dinner, I just put on the generator for about 6-7 minutes. It's a little noisy, but there's nobody on either side of me or across from me, so it's quite nice. And was able to use the microwave for that. Sorry. And boy, I was just dead beat after the shower. I just, all I could do is lie down. But it's a beautiful spot. I've full of trees. It's in the heart of the city. Apparently, this land was all flooded, and when it came time to rebuilding, they decided to put a park in the middle of the city, and it was a very good idea. I was hoping I could dump my gray and black water tanks, but I don't see any dumping station here. And it being so close to the river, maybe they don't want that. But a peaceful, restful night. You know, I wake up every night in the middle of the night, usually to get up and have a leak. And again, the joy of having your own toilet. So I was up at 4, and I had the windows open, and the evening air is cool. And you've got a cross breeze, and I love it. You just pull that sleeping bag up a little tighter, and you feel so cozy and snug. It's a wonderful feeling. So I slept in. And anyway, made breakfast. And then another thing about road treks that I love, or this style of camping, is you've got to be organized. There's a Zen-like element to everything you do. So you have to think ahead if you're going to make, okay, I wanted a cup. I'm drinking now a cup of chocolate chai. Tea bags I bought from home. It's good. I've got it in my nice thermos. Well, to do that, okay, I'm going to have to light up the propane stove. Well, I'm going to clear stuff off here. Now, wait a minute. I got a pile of dirty dishes. Let's do the dishes first. Okay, let's put on the water heater and the water pump so you can flush the toilet and run the water. Remind me to turn those off, would you, before I drive? And then you wash your dishes, and then you dry your dishes, and then you place your dishes back where they belong, and your cutlery in another place, and then everything's clear again, and then you get your water out and measure out how much you need to make this one cup. And then you find your pot and make sure it's clean, and then fire up the propane stove. It's very satisfying. And you have to do it in a calm-like manner. There's just none of the business or rushing about, or you got to answer the phone in the middle of it or something. You know, you're just doing one step at a time. Think about the order you want to do things in. I knew I wanted to end with a nice hot cup of tea, which is what I have now. And anyway, I just wanted to bring you a little bit up to date, you or me, looking back. It's another beautiful day. Oh, clear blue sky. I mean, I've run into a lot of rain, but it just, you keep driving and the weather is different, of course. But today is lovely. So I'll be crossing the border as soon as I leave here into North Dakota. I've been told, I was reading a little map, and there's some apparently spectacular views. Between Williston and Minot, US 2 provides several high points where one can view graceful and beautiful landscape for many miles in all directions. Between Minot and Grand Forks, which is where I am now, so this is going backwards, US 2 provides an ever-changing mix of agricultural farm and pasture land, native wetlands, and small lakes set on a gently rolling landscape. US 2 also passes through a large lake named Devil's Lake near the city with the same name. Okay. And it follows the BNSF railway route most of the trip. The US 2 route through North Dakota was originally named the Wonderland Trail or the Teddy Roosevelt Trail. And the trail I was on yesterday in Minnesota was the Paul Bunyan Trail. So there you go. A little bit of US culture in there, culture and history. There is a point I read that marked, here we are, in Rugby, just east of the route's intersection with ND3. The highway passes the location designated in 1931 as the geographical center of North America. Now, I like that idea. I'd like to take the rock to it. That's a worthy side trip. The monument marking the geographic center had to be relocated in 1971 when US 2 was converted from 2 lanes to 4 lanes. So that's near Rugby, so I'll keep an eye out for a historical marker. And most likely I'll just zip right past it. All right, that's all. I didn't want to say too much other than this park is wonderful. I'm very glad I needed it. It was the end of the day. I was very tired. I've been driving since about 6 in the morning from Ashland at the Walmart store. And went on till, probably 5 in the evening before I stopped. Or later. Or no, about 5:30, I guess. Anyway, a long day. Lots of little breaks here and there, but yeah, I enjoy the traveling. Barnacle Bill says I'm driving too much. That's not fun. But considering I'm not capable of much walking, driving is the thing that gives me the most pleasure. All right, and it's a long route to go. Hey, I'm nowhere near Washington and BC yet. I'm just below Manitoba. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now. Yeah, check, check. I haven't done any recording while driving, and so I'm just going to make this a very short segment. I'm on Route 2, of course, driving through North Dakota and just loving it. 10
kilometers, turn right onto Highway 3 South.
Highway 3 South? I don't want to do that. Anyway. Sorry. Oh, I know. It's because I wanted to head to Rugby and see the marker that represents the, or is the spot that's supposed to be the geographical center of North America. I want to take the rock there for a photo op. So I guess we're close. I've got Thelonious Monk playing in the background. I had Miles Davis on. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the shrill sound. I didn't like it at all. And Thelonious Monk with all these discordant notes and seemingly no pattern. It's so much more appealing to me. Anyway, it's flat land. Wow, there looks like an old church. I think of this land, 150 years ago, back when you're looking at old cowboy movies and stuff, where it was a frontier. Ah, 5 kilometers coming up. All right. Anyway, I suppose I should have recorded from there instead of on the road, but I'm on the road now, so here you go. Here we are. It's lovely scenery. I'm loving seeing these big trucks go by, at 70 miles an hour. These big Peterbilt and Kenilworth trucks. Those are the cowboys of today. But I can understand the pride Americans must feel. Never mind the history of the native people who were here before them. Of just having built this country. I'm looking at power lines. I'm looking at farms that are huge. Industry, communication systems, everything is here. It's just, of course, people feel pride, and you don't see it, but the hard work that would have been involved in just building this in that time. So I salute the Americans today. That's what I'm doing, and I'm going to shut this down because next thing you know, I'll be at the geographic marker, and maybe I'll pick it up from there. Coming down to one lane here, so I got to be careful. Speed 45. All right. Scarborough Dude signing off. Chick, chick, chick. I feel like I have to talk very quietly. The whole park is quiet, but everybody's in their trailers. I'm the only road track here. This is Buffalo Trail, a private campground, and it's in just out on the outskirts of Williston, North Dakota, just off Highway 2. I had reached my limit by the time I just kept. There was campgrounds advertised, and they were just trailer parks, you know, just out in the open. And then I saw one because I had to dump my black and gray tanks, and I saw a KOA, and again, it was just disgusting of just like all these monster trailers, you know, that pulled by pickups and parked one beside another. And I thought, there's no way I'm doing that. So I was actually heading into Williston. My plan was, I'm going to find a bar or restaurant and go in and see if I can park there for the night, you know, behind it or something. And, you know, with the idea that I'll come in, I'll eat and I'll drink. And you can do that in a smaller town. Well, I mean, this isn't a huge city, but I realize that that's probably not going to work out. I mean, driving around, you know, the city blocks, trying to find such a place was highly unlikely. So I pulled off the highway into a Walmart, and hard to miss those again, on the outskirts of Williston, and saw a couple of trailers parked there and thought, oh, I really don't want it. It was very close to the highway, and I'm like, this is crazy. No, that's, I don't want to do that. And so pulled out, and as I pulled out, there was a big sign saying no overnight parking. So I don't know what those other vehicles were going to do. They looked like they were there to stay. But I had Googled and found there was, go back up the hill from where I came, about 7 miles, and I'd find this place. So I came in not wanting to spend much money. But the KOA place said, yeah, I could dump my tanks there, even if I wasn't staying, but it would cost me $10 just to eliminate the waste tanks. And I thought, well, it's crazy. Put that towards a campsite where it's included. So I talked to the owner, and I hadn't decided. I was looking around. Again, it was sort of, at first glance, it was just much of the same, a lot of trailers. And then I looked, and no, they were spaced quite far apart. It's surrounded by trees. And he turned out to be a very interesting character, Lee. He'd worked on the oil fields and now came back to run this for his wife. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, this character. So anyway, I tried bartering, and we came up. No, it's $30 for the night, electric. And but for an extra $5, you can dump your tanks. So that was a good deal. And he was very nice and showed me how to get in here. And a couple of things I did right. Well, dumping the tanks I hadn't done for a long time. And there is a system to it, because this model of road trek has a macerator, which, like a disposal thing in your sink, shreds everything. The only warning is, do not let any human hair go down your drains, because that will just tie up like in a vacuum cleaner, and it just won't work. But you're supposed to have power to run at night, and so it didn't sound like the macerator was really working, but it appeared the tanks were emptying, so I think I'm okay. And then I went out and got the manual and did some further reading and yellow highlighting. Okay, what to do next time. So that part, I know what to do. Second thing I did right was, he said, make sure the it's switched off before you plug in. And I didn't even know what he meant. Switched off inside my van, or switched off at the circuit breaker on the, you know, outlet here that I plug into. And then remembered that when I was in Tennessee visiting Jason, I ordered a surge protector, highly recommended by the RV dealer I visited. And they ordered it for me, and it was there the next day, I think, and I picked it up. And I've rarely used it. You don't have to in Canada. We're well regulated. But in private campgrounds, there can be spikes or surges. And you've really got to be careful because you can fry your electric system, and that's total disaster for a road trek or any vehicle, but very expensive repair. So I dug it out. I had it buried in the back under the bed, and I had to sort of move things around, pulled it out, plugged the damn thing in, turned on the circuit breakers, or turned off whatever it was it you're supposed to do. And then you give this thing a few minutes to check. It runs tests and then lets you know if there's anything questionable or not right not to use it. And, of course, it was fine. But meanwhile, that'll protect me for the night. So that's good. And that's going to be regular practice now. If I'm plugging in, use that damn thing and put it in a more convenient place instead of in a box under the bed. Put it right where the electrical cables are. There's probably room to jam it in there. So this kind of thing probably, it's not very interesting conversation to you, but it's part of what I have to stay on top of and learn. And, you know, as I've said, it's a long, slow process, this becoming friends with this road trek and learning the thing. So today was a good learning experience. Now, this fellow Lee, once I got settled in my chair, I thanked him and I apologized. I said, sorry, I was a little questioning about whether I'd stay or not. And he said, no, I get that. You've been staring into the windscreen all day. And so, you know, I was doing the sort of the polite way of being an apologetic Canadian. And he liked it. And anyway, I guess I deliberately, well, got him to talk. I'll just put it that way. And withheld any opinions I might have held on my own just to hear where he's coming from. I mean, that's when you do on a trip like this. You want to know, what do the locals think? And boy, oh boy, that was interesting. He went on for a good 15 minutes. If I had had the recorder, you would have absolutely loved it, but it would have been morally wrong to do such a thing. And, you know, I even wanted to take a picture. I was sitting in my chair looking up at him with his kind of a belly and a ball cap and it would have been perfect. It would have been perfect, but it just wasn't the right thing to do. Like, why would I be taking a picture of him like that or sticking a recorder out, you know? But anyway, so likely a Trump supporter, at least, I mean, probably more likely against everybody, but certainly the Democrats, because they're all fighting each other. And I would go on and encourage that. Say, yeah, they all seem to be attacking each other. So what it's come down to is Monsanto is the evil genius that the evil monster that produces more than 90% of America's food now. And that's not good. And he's refusing as best he can to ever eat Monsanto products and GMOs. Only a handful of giant corporations control all the media in America. So all you can't believe anything you read or hear. The Democratic Party is promoting socialism, but the Constitution, the very American Constitution, says this is a capitalist country, according to Lee. So all of that was interesting, and then talked about, you know, open carrying, you know, you want to have guns, you need guns, there's too many crazies out there, and on it went. And it was just enjoyable, sitting in my chair listening to this person, and I don't mean this in a nasty way, I meant this is how this person feels. I'm not passing judgment. It may sound like that, it may sound like, oh, you know, I'm better than that. No. That's not where I'm coming from. This is what this man feels. This is his experience. These are his opinions and his views. And he has very strong reasons to believe that we are, you know, people are being controlled by the media, by Facebook and the tech companies. And so I went in, chimed in there too. Yes, it's like we've become robots. Yes, exactly. So anyway, that was an interesting conversation. The campsite is wonderful. There's showers. All the doors are locked. You just need to know the passcode to get into the toilets, laundry room, showers. Everything is clean. And I'm just delighted and told him I'm very glad I stayed here for the night. And I'm plugged in an electric. So not that I really need it, but it means my fridge is running on electric power and in 220, so it's like fully running instead of using the propane. And instead of having the lights on, I've just lit a candle. So I'm sitting here in the dark, feeling very comfortable and cozy and happy that I stopped here. And happy that tomorrow I'll be crossing yet another border and heading into Montana. So I'm not sure where I'll get to. Of course, I don't know. I didn't know I'd end up here. Although in the end, I realized, no, keep on pushing. Because along the way, there really was nothing. A lot of farmland. And it looked like oil rigs. But no real place you'd want to stay. I saw one advertisement for a campground, a state park. Who were those two explorers? Damn it. The American ones. And I kind of wanted to go, and the sign said 30. That means 30 miles down the road in sort of the wrong direction. And I wasn't going to do that. And so instead I ended up here, and it's just this carrying on believing everything will work out just the way it should. Just stay positive and go with good vibes and you'll be okay. And that's what I'm telling you has happened today. Scarborough Dude signing out from, Buffalo Trail Campground in North Dakota. Bye for now.